Good evening and welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Late and Linoleum with Jick and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead and Jick is not on the line yet because I have not connected him. I have all the power. All the power. Okay, let's be calling Jick to see if he's sleeping. Is he dreaming? If he's dreaming, is he dreaming of me?
Hey, Mr. Skullhead.
Hey there, Jick. I can't believe you actually kissed me.
I did what now?
I was,
You were calling me to see if I was sleeping. I'm just going to start editing that out of the archive versions, man.
I didn't actually sing this time.
They're right. It makes it impossible to tell which show is which. Every time I'm editing one, I'm like, oh, crap, is this the one from 3 weeks ago, or is this the one from 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, because the fact that the date of the program is in the stream file name doesn't help at all, though.
I gotta figure out what to do with the taggings and whatnot. I've heard that if you tag a podcast and release it into the wild, then later on you can track it and gain data about virality. Do viruses have ears? Can you ear tag a virus? Can you tag an earworm?
Can you earmark a earwig, perhaps?
Can you buy a wig at the Hallmark store?
Can Hall & Oates buy a mark at a carnival? I don't know.
If you lead a horse to Oates, if you lead a mare to Oates, will it eat them? what have you been up to, Mr. Skullheads?
Same old.
Are you eating a plate of lasagna while we're doing the show?
I was just drinking a draft of my delicious beer, that's all.
A draft of it?
A draft. It's an Irish beer.
Keg can? Oh, a draft is as in a slug.
Yeah. A swaller.
Do you suppose that slugs have armies, and if so, do they ever draft?
I would hope so.
A slug conscript?
I know that when slugs are racing, they draft. If they were racing to build buildings, they would probably draft at drafting tables.
There was an arms race, and their enemies discovered salt. And it was just all over.
Yeah, the salt treaty meant something different to the slugs, I believe. I've been painting the house even more. Got almost all of the freaky ladder work done. Scaffolding work done. So
freaky ladder work was that companion comic to Funky Winkerbeam?
Yeah. And the soundtrack by Kraftwerk. I played the Scott Pilgrim game, and I think you were wrong about the Scott Pilgrim game, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah? What was your impressions? What were your impressions?
I think it was probably useful to hear your complaints about it, so that I was steeled for them. The characters only move slowly if you push the joystick over slowly. Like, I don't know, if you tap the joystick to the right and then hold it there, then they run at a perfectly reasonable speed. So
I mean, you can double tap to, like, dash.
No, I mean, my guy was just kind of running around all the time. Huh. I don't know, maybe I was just in the right mind frame for it. Like, it's certainly not a flawless game. It is kind of hard occasionally to hit people, but I think it was had the exact right feel to it, so even the things that were a little bit annoying about it just reminded me of the things that were a little bit annoying about these other games that I like, so.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like Castle Crashers just nailed it so well with the sort of modern retelling of the beat-em-up that maybe I just wasn't ready for another one yet. I went and saw the Scott Pilgrim movie again last night.
That's good.
This is the first movie I've seen twice in a theater in probably 10 years.
Somebody's got to go see that. Somebody's got to go see that movie a couple of times more.
Yeah.
If I pass Edgar Wright or Michael Cera on the street, I'll toss him a dollar.
Just a dollar?
Well, you know, all of the money that I have on me at that point, because it's never more than $3 or $4. And actual folding money.
Oh man, speaking of dollars, I'm happy. I finally got to the point where when I pull up to the window at the coffee place in the morning, they just hand me my coffee.
Oh, cool.
They see me coming. They know what I'm going to order, because I always order the same thing because I'm old and boring and predictable.
What do you order? Is it
just a complicated? A coffee.
Ah. A black coffee?
Yeah, black coffee. A medium black coffee. Every time. And each of the 11th ones is free. Hmm. It's weird, man. The earlier I get up, the more people there are in line in front of me at the coffee place. And I've never seen anyone order a cup of coffee. It's always like something in a clear cup with a straw. I guess people don't, like, not everybody is as committed to the idea of a hot black coffee as I am, such that I will get one every morning, even when it's 110 degrees.
Right.
You know? But an iced coffee, it's just not a coffee. It's like a milk soda with coffee flavoring.
What if it's just coffee and ice?
I don't think anybody does that, because I think that that's gross. Hmm. I think that anywhere that you get an iced coffee, it has milk in it.
Hmm. I don't know. I would never drink the filthy motherfucker. Anyway.
Yeah, you're one of those non-coffee guys. Everybody that I hang out with, Riff, doesn't drink coffee. You know who drinks coffee? The pretentious artist.
Hitler.
He knows. He even made those coffee cups that are about coffee.
Yeah.
Hey, we made a coffee cup that was about coffee, and then that coffee cup was on television. Because it's famous.
Hmm. I drink hot chocolate with booze in it out of my coffee mugs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Do you occasionally pour a wine cooler into one and drink that? Because that's about the level you're at with that hot chocolate with booze in it.
That I like beverages that taste good.
Remember that time when we were in high school and we had this plan to stay up real late, so we drank hot chocolate made with coffee instead of water?
Nope, that wasn't me.
Yes, it was. It was at your house. We used your parents' coffee machine. You might have just had hot chocolate because you were a little girl back then.
That does not ring even a faint and distant bell.
Do you remember the time we tried to make carbonated coffee by dropping dry ice into a cup of coffee?
That I do remember, because we got the dry ice and we were so stoked to have it, and then we didn't really know what to do with it.
Yeah. Turns out garbage disposal is the thing to do with dry ice.
Hmm.
You throw some chunks of dry ice into the garbage disposal, and then you turn on some water, and then you turn on the disposal, and it just, like, there is a geyser of that sort of fog all at once, because the garbage disposal creates a tremendous amount of surface area for the water to interact with.
Huh.
It's pretty amazing.
If only I had known. I remember us being too wussy to put it in a 2-liter bottle.
We were too wussy for that.
Yeah, because we were afraid that it would explode and do things.
I remember trying to make a Molotov cocktail out of a baby food jar and then being unable to break it by throwing it at anything.
Yes, I remember that as well.
We should have made Molotov cocktails out of the unbreakable, clearly Canadian bottles. You know, there was that crossover when M. Night Shyamalan's Unbreakable came out, and there was, like, Samuel L. Jackson flavored clearly Canadian. Which is weird, because he's not even from Canada.
Right, but the bottle was.
That's true. Well, I wonder what Samuel L. Jackson tastes like.
Does he taste like a bitch?
That's a good thing to have in your repertoire. Anytime anybody says, what does X look like?
Yeah.
You can just say, does it look like a bitch? And everybody thinks that's cool. So I was speaking of, I don't know, something earlier in the conversation. I was listening to NPR on the way back here for the show, and they were interviewing Richard Dawkins about his coinage of the term meme, and then they were, you know, basically in a roundabout way asking him if he knew about All Your Base or Belong to Us. He was not at all familiar with Know Your Memes or any individual internet memes.
Hmm.
It's very, very stuffy.
I wonder if he would stiffly insist that none of the things we call memes are actually memes.
No, I think that they are, though. Because, I mean, he describes, like, a song can be a meme or a style of shoes, right? So, like, if a song can be a meme, a phrase certainly can. Right. I think it is anything that is like anything that is capable of being reproduced in the mind of another, like a unit of culture. Anyway, I don't remember where I was going with that. Oh, something that I saw today, and I wanted to ask you how you felt about it. This new big hit CeeLo song, "Fuck You." Uh-huh. Have you seen that video?
I have, yes.
Well, it's a good song, and I don't know how I feel about it. It's like I kind of wish that it wasn't so vulgar.
Huh.
I mean, you know me, Mr. Skullhead, and you know that I am a vulgar motherfucker. But for whatever reason, like, it bothers me in legitimate culture.
Just like say Ween songs?
Man, you have got the wrong impression of Ween.
Every Ween song I've ever heard has been like, "Suck my dick, motherfucking bitch, with your tits and some piss."
So you might be referring to the song "Piss Up a Rope," which is on what essentially amounted to a parody album that they did. That's possible.
Actually, got a bunch of Ween off of Vaginal Blood Fart.
You never listened to the fucking mix that I made you. I made you a mix of good Ween songs because you asked me to, and then you never listened to it.
I know, and I tried to kind of redeem myself by borrowing all of the Ween from him and listening to song after song. It's just like, this is either unremarkable or vulgar. So it's weird to me that stops you with that CeeLo song.
One thing that I will say about Ween is that this is weird. I got into this exact conversation with a guy on the airplane when I came back from the backpacking trip. Which I think I was wearing a Ween shirt is why that happened, but anyway. I did not like Ween at all until I saw them play live. And then this like never ever happens to me with bands. I normally, like, when I go see a live show of a band that I know, maybe this was it. When I go see a live show of a band that I know, I'm just like sort of bothered by the fact that the songs sound different than I'm used to, you know? Because it's like they start the song and then I start the song in my head, which is why like I feel like They Might Be Giants are one of my favorite live acts, because they, you know, they're showmen. They make it worth seeing live, but they don't fuck up the songs for the sake of making the live show different than the studio stuff, right? I mean, they're all, like, recognizable.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that, say, a Tori Amos in concert, the songs aren't recognizable. That is actually one good thing about her, like, techno phase, is that her concert started kind of sounding like her albums, although they both sounded like something I didn't want to listen to. So it was kind of lose-lose for me. The members of Ween are enthusiastic and brilliant musicians. And if you saw them play live, you would understand that in a way that the albums never quite get across. And seeing them live, and then, you know, ending up seeing them live several times, like, I've never known anyone who went to a Ween show and didn't leave saying, "Wow, that was really good." So maybe someday we'll be in the same city. There'll be a Ween show. I'll take you there. We can get good and drunk, and we'll see if it can get in there. You know, this is one of those things. Like, I feel like eventually you'll come around, because you always do. I never come around to the crap you like. The meatloaves. Anyway, what were we doing? We were talking about that CeeLo song.
Right, right.
I don't know. You know, I was telling you that though I very much like Charisma Potion on MC Frontalot's new album, Zero Day, I don't like the "fuck you" parts of it.
Right.
And I don't know. You know, the South Park movie doesn't bother me at all.
It's like Uncle Fucker doesn't bother you?
Yeah, Uncle Fucker didn't bother me at all, because that was it was almost making fun of itself.
Sure.
Whereas this stuff, and you know, the "You're So Fucking Special" in Creep, in the Radiohead, that's the name of that song. It's called "The Radiohead."
The Radiohead, the Creep.
Yeah. By the way, I've been replaced with my grandmother. Yeah, I don't know. That one, that doesn't bother me, because I feel like that's, I don't know. I I can't.
Sure, it's something that gets on your... not on your nerves, but it's something that bothers you and you can't really explain why.
Yeah, sure, it just... It sure. makes the work seem less legitimate to me and more puerile.
Yeah. That's
which is not to say that...
this upper rope and baby bitch.
Puerile can't be legitimate, but...
I like that song, though, because it's so happy. It has that... It like very deliberately has the sound of like an old Smokey Robinson song or an old Motown song, complete with backup singers and everything. And to me, that makes it funny that, and he's just is kind of casually swearing and not really angrily, but just kind of chirping along. I guess that it makes it a little bit of a novelty song, but you know.
It does, I guess. I hadn't thought to compare it to Smokey Robinson, but like it does have that same kind of like I'm not afraid to be pathetic.
Oh.
Quality. Well, and I'm just
the sound of the backing track is kind of deliberately throwing back to that, I thought.
Yeah. But you know, something like a Tears of a Clown.
Sure.
Did Smokey Robinson do Tears of a Clown and Tracks of My Tears?
Yes.
He was in kind of a rut there with the Tears thing.
He also did the mashup Tracks of My Tears of the Clown.
Was that a real thing?
Sadly, no.
Do you think that those songs would go well together?
I think so.
What else? What else have I been doing? I've been working a lot. I've been playing, I played a fair amount of World of Warcraft out of nowhere this weekend. My account got compromised somehow. Huh. Like, I woke up one morning and I had an email from Blizzard. What I thought was just like a phishing email, but it was like, hey, your World of Warcraft account has been suspended for 3 hours and we've changed the password. We'll send you an email with your new password. Huh. And that second email never showed up, so I was like, this is maybe not legitimate. I looked, the links seemed to go to Blizzard, you know? But I was just like, well, let me see. So I tried to log into my World of Warcraft account, and sure enough, it was the password had been changed. So then I logged on to their website and changed it back. And somebody, they didn't take any of my stuff from any of my characters that are actually like developed and have stuff. I hadn't logged on in probably 3 months, but they had created a bunch of spammer characters with just like, you know, Chris GGRGGTGR. On various servers, which apparently they stood around and just spammed about gold selling websites or whatever until they got banned, because you see a lot of that clearly. Yeah. Computer generated accounts. But yeah, it made me it was like, oh sweet, World of Warcraft, now that I've patched it to get in and make sure that my shit was still there and got my account back, why don't I play it for a few hours. And it was fun. I ran some dungeons, I killed some mobs and got some fat loot. I'm torn. I have this dilemma that I feel like it's mostly the more heart kind of players run into, where I got these shoulder pads, these chainmail shoulder pads that drop from a boss in a dungeon, that are better in terms of the amount of, you know, extra plus ones they give to my lightning bolts. Yeah. But they're just these kind of, you know, big metal looking things, as opposed to the old shoulder pads that I have, which are wolves heads with lightning bolts shooting out of the eyes.
Huh.
I really don't want to get rid of those. I really don't. I'm thinking that I might only upgrade if I find a set of shoulder pads that uses the same model, and I'm not positive that that's going to happen, so I might just be wearing these antiquated shoulder pads for forever, just because There are lightning bolts constantly shooting off of my dude because they're coming out of the eyes of the wolf heads that I'm wearing on my shoulders.
So you're just going to wear your antiquated shoulder pads all the doodah day, eh?
Yes. You're saying that because antiquated shoulder pads has seven syllables.
Yes.
I still think that it would be funny if a game said to you, doodah, doodah, every time it said something that had seven syllables. Could you put that into a haiku?
All the Doodah Day.
All the Doodah Day is 5, yeah, and then anything in 7. What would the first line be?
It would have to be like Camptown Ladies Sing.
So, well, Summer in Camptown. It needs a seasonal reference, right? Right.
Summer in Camptown. Antiquated shoulder pads.
Springtime in Camptown. Antiquated shoulder pads. All the Doodah Day.
Wonderful.
Man, did you see? Apparently, and I don't know if this is real or not, but apparently, like, I don't see any reason to believe that it is not real. This guy was making this really old school, like, DOS RPG. And he was, like, trying to find voice actors to do some of the stuff. And just on a whim, he sent an email to Christopher Walken's agent. And Christopher Walken just did, like, 5 minutes of voice work just into, like, a laptop mic for this kid. And so now this game was, like, it's called Haiku Quest. And apparently Christopher Walken reads some of the haikus in some part of the game.
That's kind of awesome.
That is kind of awesome if it's real. Apparently, he got a little bit too much attention, and it became impossible to download the game earlier. But I don't know. I'll try it later. Maybe someone will have mirrored it. Maybe Christopher Walken himself will have mirrored it on one of his many servers.
Hmm. You suppose Christopher Walken's got a lot of servers?
Oh, wouldn't you if you were Christopher Walken? I'll tell you, if I had that kind of walking around money.
Oh.
I don't know, man. Well, I think if I were Christopher Walken, I would just talk into a mirror all day.
Yeah, or maybe, and what you would be doing was delivering the soliloquy from Pulp Fiction, probably. You'd just be talking about hiding a watch in your ass.
Yeah. And how I'll be damned if some slope is going to get his greasy yellow hands on my boy's birthright.
Yep.
I didn't know that Asians were reputed to have greasy hands. I know they're supposed to be yellow. Maybe it's greasy from all the math.
So just like the grease that you get off of a pencil?
Math ruins your complexion, right? Because you're always scratching yourself?
I'd never know, because I'd never go near math.
Not even once. Math. Not even once. Even though you won't even know what once means. You know, I think that on another topic, it makes me sad that we have been conditioned, I feel like, in this culture by ridiculous anti-drug rhetoric at such an early age to not believe anything that those assholes say. So when they say things like, seriously, don't do fucking meth, people don't listen. Because yeah. They were the same people that said, like, you know, if you smoke pot, it will make you start doing heroin the next week and you'll die.
Yeah.
Even heroin is better than meth. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
And heroin is for barrowmen?
But what's a barrowman?
It's someone who pushes a wheelbarrow around. I'm gonna go ahead and say.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess that job would get pretty boring if you weren't high as a kite all the damn time.
Yep. If you're going to be a barrowman, you're going to have to get yourself some heroin.
Yeah.
And then, should we open up the Twitter?
Oh, I guess we can open up the Twitter. Somebody actually, nobody came through with fart jokes last time, but people did come through with some Yo Mama jokes. Jake, Yo Mama's so fat when she sits around the house, you wish she was around the house, if you know what I'm saying. I don't actually know what you're saying, Cyber 34.
I have to say, Yo Mama's so fat when she goes to Walmart, they ask her to leave is a good one.
That is pretty funny. Because you'd have to be pretty fat for them to ask you to leave Walmart.
Yo Mama's so fat, she downloaded cheats for Wii Fit. That's pretty funny.
Oyo Savvy also writes, my mate said, apparently you have the biggest cock in town. I replied, don't believe everything Yo Mama tells you.
Oh.
That was, I think, one of my favorite moments in Braveheart is when William Wallace says, spears, hundreds of them, long as a man. And Hamish says, some men are longer than others. And Hamish's father says, oh, your mother's been telling stories about me again, has she? The guy who played Hamish's father in Braveheart was really awesome. Also, the guy who played Hamish in Braveheart was really awesome, too. It's really too bad that he got that blood in his eye and then turned into a zombie.
Is he also in 28 Days?
And then that's why his eye's all fucked up when he went to Hogwarts.
Right.
It really all comes full circle.
Who's that guy? Oh, Brendan Gleeson?
Huh?
Brendan Gleeson?
Ed Begley Gleeson.
Gleamer Brand Not?
Gleamer Griffin? Griffin.
Grove Methan.
I wonder how many names there are that rhyme with Merv Griffin. Really, does anything rhyme with Griffin? That's a real name?
No.
Piven? Jeremy Piven? Nothing rhymes with Merv. Is Merv short for something? Mervin?
Must be
short for Mervin.
Merv the Perv Griffin. I don't know.
Oyo Savvy also wrote, I keep getting mixed up between claustrophobia and homophobia. Which is the one about being in a closet? You get it, because when you're gay, if you don't tell people about it, you're in the closet. I don't know if I subscribe to the theory that every homophobe is secretly gay.
I don't think that anybody subscribes to that particular theory.
Oh, I think that they do.
It seems like a lot of people who legislate on Capitol Hill against gay people are secretly gay. And there have been at least 3 or 4 just in our country, so, yeah.
Well, that's enough anecdotes to count as data.
Exactly.
No, you're right, though. I mean, I think it's a real thing. I think that some homophobes are homophobes to cover for being gay, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm secretly gay and not at all homophobic. No, wait, I am homophobic. Fuck. I really messed up my own argument here. And the secrecy of my gaydom.
Gaydom. I actually kind of believed the one guy, though, who came out of the closet and he was a Republican congressman, and he said that he voted for anti-gay legislation not because he thought it was a great idea, but because that's what the people who voted him in wanted him to do, which kind of, sure.
Yeah,
he ran as a Republican.
You know, sort of the tragedy of democracy.
Right.
Boy, is democracy a bad idea.
Yeah, I still think that me being the benevolent monarch is the best idea.
Oh, yeah? Would you treat me well, Mr. Skullhead?
I would. I would be
benevolent. Could I have a room full of ladies?
If the ladies wanted to be in a room full of just you, then yes.
What if they didn't? What if they didn't want to? Would you make them?
I don't think I would make them, no.
That wouldn't be very benevolent of you.
Yeah, that's the problem. The thing is, like, I feel like we just need somebody who's not beholden to the masses or beholden to the people who paid to put him there to just surround himself with smart people and just solve some shit. And it's very hard to get stuff done when you have to pander to people who will believe anything some yahoo on Fox News tells them.
I think, to be fair, it's hard to get things done on that scale anyway.
Sure.
And it is almost so hard that it is just varying degrees of impossible. So who knows how much of a difference the individual terrible corrupt system we've arrived at actually makes. The Canadian guy that we went backpacking with went on a little rant about how every problem everywhere in the world is a direct result of U.S. military intervention.
Even the earthquakes.
Because just our empire building practices. I'm not against empire building. I would like it if we actually built one, though. You know, as opposed to being all sneaky about it.
Well, like George W., when he went into Iraq, said that he wasn't interested in nation building. And it turned out that that was true, but not in the way that he seemed to have meant it. I mean, it sounded like he was saying, it sounded like he was saying, I'm not interested in taking over a country and making it part of some kind of empire, but what he meant was, I'm only interested in the part where we get to blow shit up. So, yeah.
The motives are questionable.
It's a shame.
You read any good books lately, Mr. Skellet, or are you just painting your house? Are you painting things? Are you writing a book in paint and then covering it up with paint so that later on when somebody's stripping the paint off of your house, they'll have a story to read to entertain them?
No, I'm writing the story in my blood and tears and sweat.
Ooh, have you put some of your blood into the paint bucket to protect your house from evil spirits?
Not on purpose, but probably.
You know, like when Kiss made that comic book, they put some of their blood into the red ink.
Yeah, so that it would ward evil spirits off of the comic book.
Well, just the red parts.
Yeah.
But they all wear red cod pieces.
Ah, well, that makes sense.
Shows you where their priorities are.
In the crotch.
I was listening to Jordan Jesse Go, and they were talking about finding a book by Crescent Dragon Wagon.
The what?
There's a woman who changed her name to Crescent Dragon Wagon.
Huh.
And I had seen a book. Somebody, I don't know, maybe my ex-wife had a book by Crescent Dragon Wagon. It's like a cookbook. But I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why a person would change their name to Crescent Dragon Wagon. You know, I could see changing your name to something stupid because you were real into the SCA or whatever.
Right.
But Dragon Wagon is stupid even for that.
Now, are we talking a dragon pulled by horses, or are we just talking the kind of rhyming cutesy baby talk?
Sounds like rhyming cutesy baby talk to me.
Hmm. Is her middle name Bobagon, by any chance? Or she'd have to marry a dude named, you know, like, Bob Bobagon.
Mm-hmm. So she'd be Crescent Dragon Wagon, Bobagon.
Exactly. Then if she could find Banana Fanafo Fagon, could complete the cycle.
You could change your last name to Banana Fanafo Fagon.
Hmm.
Emphasis on fag.
Emphasis on in.
How's the house painting actually going?
I think it is a journey that has no end.
You did the tall part? You did the scary part?
Well, the tall part takes a coat of primer and then two coats of the regular stuff and then two coats on the trim. So I've done 4 out of the 5 total standing.
I prefer my
step
trim to have
things.
0 coats on.
Hmm. You prefer your trim to be trim?
Mm-hmm. The trim has been trum.
Are you one of those guys who thinks that who likes their women with no pubic hair because you want them to look like a 12-year-old boy?
Yeah, no pubic hair and a penis.
Mm-hmm.
But not like a pubescent penis. Those are gross. Yeah, no, Mr. Skullhead, what am I, Michael Jackson? Though, as we established, he was one of the good pedophiles.
Right.
And one of the good black people, for that matter.
Yeah, white. The only good.
You suppose
black
that if he had lived long enough, he would have become
person?
A white, like a WIGHT.
Hmm.
Or whites are whites dead?
Like a
whites
barrel really white. Hmm. Is there any fantasy game where you can dispel whites with whiteout?
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. Well.
That seems like the kind of thing we would do in our video game. White, in its original usage, the word white described a living human being. More recently, the word has been used in the fantasy genre of literature to describe undead or wraith-like creatures, corpses with a part of their decayed soul still in residence.
Sucks when your soul decays. I was going to say when your skull decays, which also sucks, but not as badly as when your soul decays.
Yeah, you gotta brush it every night before bed, every morning when you wake up, and after every meal.
Yeah, and when you're putting on your makeup.
I usually eat while I'm putting on my makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But my makeup, conveniently, is just a sort of a slathering of buffalo sauce around my mouth.
Mm.
So it's pretty easy to put that on while I'm eating wings, at least. And really, why would I eat anything other than wings? How do you feel about chicken wings, Mr. Scullin? I go back and forth. Sometimes I really like them, and sometimes I'm like, ugh.
I like your basic, not so hot that it just scorches your tongue off wing sauce, just like the flavor of buffalo wing sauce I really like. But it doesn't necessarily have to be on a chicken wing. It's okay if it is, you know, I'll eat it, I'll eat the, there's like a buffalo wing sauce flavored pretzel bite thing, and I'll eat that just as readily as I would eat a chicken wing.
I'm just trying to figure out how to cram even more carbohydrates into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's easier. There are no bones. Slow you down. But I don't feel like boneless chicken wings should be a thing.
I
feel like
no, be... certainly not. No. I also don't feel like vegetarian chicken wings should be a thing. But if they are, I have this ingenious plan. Right? I've known people who became vegetarian, and then they're like, you know, I really miss chicken wings. And every day, literally millions of chicken wing bones just get thrown away. And the vegetarians are left with these fake chicken wings with no bones in them. So what I say is that the vegetarian people should buy all those bones, clean them off, and then put them inside the fake pressed tofu meat product so that vegetarians can still get the experience of sucking something off of a bone.
You know, your mom isn't a vegetarian, but she gets frequent practice sucking something off of a bone. I'm just going to go there.
Right, because she eats chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Right after she gives me head, because if she does it before, I get a rash.
Mm-hmm. I thought we were not doing that anymore, Mr. Skullhead.
You thought. You thought
I
wrong. Did. You know what they should do with those
chicken wings, and I'm sure it was super entertaining.
Well, what they should do with the chicken wings is make a car entirely out of them.
Yeah, that was a good plan while it lasted. I had this idea. I was going to make a car out of bird bones because it would be really light, and the most ready source of bird bones that I had was the chicken wings that I would eat, so I would just throw the bones in this bag and put them under the sink, and then they would rot.
And nothing smells quite like that.
Yeah, I should have bleached them or something. There's something satisfying about eating something off of a bone.
Hmm.
You know, I so rarely encounter ribs that I like that it's one of those things that I never order. Like if I'm at a restaurant, it's kind of weird. Most restaurants that I go to, I will look at the menu and there's only like one or two things that I would even consider eating. You know, because the other things are like, you know, fish and chips. I'm never going to get fish and chips, right? I very rarely will order, like, a pizza at a restaurant. And, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know why I'm so picky. But, like, ribs, every once in a while, there'll be a restaurant that I'll go to, and it'll be like, well, there's really nothing that looks good except these ribs. And so that happens maybe twice a year. I'll eat ribs. And I would say one out of every four plates of ribs that I have is good. So really, I only enjoy ribs once every 2 years.
Hmm.
I've never cooked ribs. Can you cook ribs at home? I guess you can.
Yeah, one of my old roommates used to make pretty decent wing and wing sauce. It turns into the kind of thing like people who are into perfecting a barbecue sauce or, you know, the people who homebrew beer. It turns into the kind of thing that you are inordinately proud of something and you insist on talking about it and nobody else cares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that I would do that. Although I do spend a lot of time talking about the limoncello that we've been making. I don't, actually. What I mostly spend time doing is forgetting that I've had some limoncello, like, in the sort of brewing with the lemon zest phase for like four or five times as long as that phase is supposed to last, because I just keep forgetting to do it, and I have no idea what that's going to do. I don't know if eventually it gets gross or if it just keeps getting better.
Because
there's only so much essential oil in a lemon zest, right?
Yeah.
You'd think.
There's got to be a tipping point somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, the page that came up when I looked up the car made of bird bones was a pretty damn funny page from asymmetric.net. 2000 was a good year for you, comedy-wise.
Oh, yeah?
Is that the entire year on that page, or is it... Yep. No. The month of December in 2000 was just... You were on fire, man. You had the bread people and the toast people. You had the Chumbawaki. Geek versus Hippie the Gathering. Some good Captain Crunch stuff.
I sure was experimenting with a lot of stuff when I was working on that website.
The only not funny thing on there is my poetry corner.
That was a good... That was a good time for me in terms of, just trying to completely get rid of my sense of shame.
Hmm.
Just by putting everything out. I would work all day at Intel, and then I had like a 45-minute commute home, and I would spend the entire commute home thinking about what I was going to put on Asymmetric. And then I would come home and put something on Asymmetric. And then I would start drinking, and drink almost all night. That's what I would do back then. Me and the Pretentious Artist used to make it through a very large number of bottles of Miller High Life.
Hmm.
That was what we would do.
Miller High Life is kind of disgusting.
It's not good. It's not great. I mean, it was good enough for how cheap it was. Because, I mean, when between us we were going through, a 12-pack or more a day, cost over time became a real issue.
Sure, sure.
I guess I had money because I was working at Intel, but I was saving money so that I could go to college and not have any money.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to... Yeah, I don't know. I know how you feel about cheap beer.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I went to the ghetto liquor store. That's a couple, three or four blocks from my house, and they now have a white guy case in there. It's like the bulk of the liquor store is, Old English and your Buds, your Millers, your Colt 45, your 40 ounces, and then there's one little case that has like six or seven, like flat, Fat Tire and Flat Earth and all that kind of stuff. So it's just kind of funny because it's just separate from everything else and definitely a nod to, we understand white people come in here from time to time and they have bizarre ideas about paying for too much for beer. So, ended up with a McSorley's Irish Black Lager this evening. It's dark.
So black lager is stuff that white people like?
Yeah, and the black people are all drinking white lager. I'm pretty sure.
White ale.
Mm-hmm. Pale ale. I can't drink any pale ales because of American Pie.
Oh, because of the semen joke? You're afraid that if you drink a pale ale, there will be little albino tadpoles floating in it?
Yeah, I'm afraid that if I jack off into my beer and then drink it, it'll be a pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about the Scott Pilgrim movie was when Gideon Graves swallows his gum and then says, "It'll be in my digestive tract for 7 years."
Hmm.
That's pretty funny. What? Why don't they want you to swallow gum? Like, is there anything dangerous about swallowing gum at all?
No.
What fucking difference does it make if a kid swallows some gum? Is it, like, more of a choking hazard than regular food or something?
I don't know. I guess if you were chewing a whole lot of gum and swallowing every piece, you could maybe get enough that your stomach acid couldn't handle it, I guess. But, man, that'd be a whole lot of gum.
But, I mean, you could eat enough bread that your stomach wouldn't be able to handle it. Right? I mean, I don't think that gum is somehow, like, undissolvable by stomach acid.
No, it's
just
not.
What kind of sense does that make? Why, when we were kids, were they like, don't swallow your gum? Why were there all these taboos built up around swallowing gum and these sort of like urban legends about the horrible things that would happen to you? What the fuck? Why am I just thinking of this now, and why is it making me so angry?
I don't know why it's making you so angry.
Don't go outside without a coat on. Why? No reason at all. It's just folkwism based on nothing.
thing. Well, those at that point, those were things that their parents had told them, and at that point, they might not have known better. Yeah.
They never bothered to think about anything.
They didn't have the internet.
I guess people don't. You know, I'm pretty sure I knew that a lot of this stuff was bullshit before I had the internet.
I figured that chewing gum wasn't going to stay in your stomach, but I just figured that you wouldn't digest it. It would just kind of come out the same as it went in. But
you never tried that? You never tried that bite? You know, I really want to do the thing where I just spend, like, an entire day eating nothing but corn and just see what the poop is like.
You won't need to if you ever have a kid.
What?
You're
going to have to explain that.
There's a sizable window between when the kid starts eating grown-up food and when the kid is potty trained. So when you're changing a diaper, you're going to see what poop looks like, and you're going to see it in detail.
I see. But, I mean, I feel like it would be irresponsible to feed a kid nothing but corn for 24 hours.
Right. But, you know, feed them corn, and then you see all the corn in the diaper. You know, you feed them grapes, and you see the grapes.
I have not seen it with nothing but corn.
That's true. I haven't done that.
I am afraid that if I also tried the nothing but, like, nothing but cashews, say, that would just kill me.
Probably.
Man, just imagine, just like a fucking like a shotgun loaded with corn being fired into a toilet. Just imagine that.
Oh, I'm imagining it.
It's kind of weird how much corn is still there. I guess you're digesting all the useful bits out of the inside of it.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Michael Pollan teaches us that corn is the devil.
It does?
He doesn't really well, have you not read The Omnivore's Dilemma?
No.
You should. It's good.
Right.
And so should all of our listeners. I would offer to loan you a copy at Con, but I think that's one of those books that I'm constantly loaning to people, so I think that I don't have it anymore. It's also one of those books that has made me into the kind of asshole that will buy people that book as a gift because I think that everyone should read it.
The Omnivore's Dilemma, eh?
Yes. It's just the beginning of the book is about sort of the way that we arrived at the situation that we're in now, where almost everything that you buy at the grocery store that isn't like produce is just has like as many extra calories worth of corn byproducts as science can manage to stuff into it. And it's weird. You know, it's like the reason that I think it is never going to catch on, and the reason why I think the way that we're going is just like, you know, American lifespans are going down over the next few years. Like, life expectancy is going down because of the obesity epidemic. And since the problem of, like, this is why high fructose corn syrup is bad sort of systemically doesn't boil down to, oh, it's bad for you, so you shouldn't eat it, right? Mm-hmm. So they can say, wait a minute, it's not bad for you. That argument doesn't make any sense. You know, the like, pro-high fructose corn syrup public service announcement. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Did you see that a few years ago? It's a difficult problem to explain because it's not that the substance itself is bad for you, although I guess there's probably some people that would claim that. It's that its prevalence causes you to consume way more calories than is reasonable. You know, way more. If you have like Wonder Bread and Twinkies and stuff, you'll just eat way more than you ever would if you were just eating, like, you know, beef and regular bread and vegetables. You know, I guess you could eat enough vegetables to get fat, but it would be really unpleasant. I should try eating enough vegetables to get fat just so that I can write a book about it. Super Vegetable Me. I'll make a documentary where I'm an asshole.
Yeah, it could be that guy. It seems like anybody who does something for a year or a month or whatever and writes a blog about it tends to turn out to be an ass.
You think?
Yeah.
Julie and Julia?
I watched Julie and Julia because, you know, I'm married. But, yeah, like, half of it was really interesting. The half about somebody who led a really interesting life and did a lot of interesting things and met people and had ideas. That part was really interesting. The part about the kind of mousy, whiny bitch who just cooks every recipe in a cookbook and that's her life's work, that part was not so exciting.
Yeah, that was exactly how I felt about it. If you watched it because you're married, I have no idea why I watched it.
You watched it because you have a hard-on
for Meryl Streep. I was interested in Julia Childs, and I had heard that it was good, and it was available on Netflix streaming, and I think I started watching it once. Like, every once in a while, when I, like, am eating, I will be like, I don't feel like reading while I eat, so I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to watch something off of Netflix streaming. And usually that just means that I'll watch, like, the first 10 minutes of something, but sometimes it'll grab me, and then I'll just end up watching a movie. And I think that was what happened with Julie and Julia. Yeah. But I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I cannot imagine a less likable character than Amy Adams' character in that movie, and I cannot imagine a more likable character than, is it Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
Meryl Streep's portrayal of Julia Childs. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say, it's kind of like in the Devil Wears Prada when, but yeah, I'm guessing you haven't seen The Devil Wears Prada.
I have not seen The Devil Wears Prada. I don't know anything about it. I don't even know enough about it to make a derisive snort.
It has Meryl Streep in it, so
got that going for it.
Yeah, but it's another one of those where the movie seems to want you to feel a certain way, and you kind of feel the opposite way. Like, this girl gets a job at a fashion magazine, and all of her friends tell her she's selling out, and her boyfriend gets mad at her, and you're supposed to think that she's kind of going over to the dark side, but in reality, it just seems like all of her friends are dicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in Sex and the City. Okay, I'm gonna stop. I'm just gonna stop.
So it has the opposite of its intended effect, like the way that, Requiem for a Dream really made me want to start using heroin.
Exactly. And pushing a wheelbarrow around, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, what else are you gonna do? You gotta keep chasing that dragon. And you gotta have the wheelbarrow with you, so when you catch him, you can carry your hoard of gold home. I was observing today in the front yard of the office. There were all these clouds of gnats flying around. And then there were these dragonflies that would, like, dart in. And what I hoped that they were doing was, so actually what I hope was that instead of gnats, they were actually damselflies, and that the dragonflies were flying into the big swarms of damselflies, kidnapping damsels and taking them back to their lair, so that a nightfly could come rescue her later on. And it would be like a whole hero's journey thing. What I hope, actually, was that the dragonflies were somehow eating the gnats in midair, like sort of culling the weak, so that the swarms of gnats in the front yard of the office will get even stronger, as they seem to with every passing year.
You think there's some serious gnat herding going on?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's cool if dragonflies... I'm all about a dragonfly. You know, they're pretty. They're cool-looking. They have a cool name. They don't hurt you. They don't sting you or anything. Like a bee. A bee can go fuck itself. But a dragonfly? Dragonfly's a pretty cool guy. That's the way I feel about bees and dragonflies.
I saw a dragonfly here yesterday that was the size of my entire hand. From, like, the tip of my middle finger past the base of my wrist.
And so the way that you measure your hand is from the tip of your middle finger to just past the base of your wrist.
Exactly. It was the size of my hand, possibly bigger. It was a big fuck-off dragonfly was the point.
Mm-hmm.
Large.
Adam Carolla always suggested the penis measuring method of you measure from the center of your anus to just past the tip of your penis. should we take one of those there breaks?
Yeah, let's take a good, just call it 15 minutes or so. And we'll be back in a few.
And we're back.
Hey, cool. You know... Whoa, what?
You're right there.
Yeah, a bunch of weird noises just came out of the speaker.
Huh.
Are there any other good Bat for Lashes songs?
Yeah, pretty much all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that song, and I really liked it, and then I listened to a bunch of other songs, and they were all really forgettable.
Oh, well.
So, somebody pointed this out in Dev. You, I think, have said that you actually like OK Go's music.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like them as dudes, and I like them as a sort of, like, a media entity, but I find the music to be just very dull and forgettable.
Yeah, and see, that's twice now you've said forgettable. You're going to have to start writing for Pitchfork Media. Oh, it's forgettable.
I've never even visited Pitchfork Media.
I haven't really read much. I just have the impression of them as the kind of, oh, yeah, it's kind of forgettable. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, their song from Rock Band is kind of catchy, but, like, I could not tell you anything about the song that was playing during the Rube Goldberg video, and I watched it probably 4 or 5 times.
I would say that's more the nature of the video than the nature of the song, though.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Excuse me. I don't remember what song was playing during that Sony Bravia commercial where they dropped all the Super Bowls in San Francisco. Yeah. But... Casey Wiederman says, so Jick, what did you take away from the Type 2 discussion and gameplay discussion? Don't ask questions in gameplay discussion. I got depressed by the thread 6 or 7 pages in, and I've yet to reapproach it. Don't let that stop you from talking about something. It's me, not you. So somebody wrote in, I want to get to this so that we don't forget. Tristan wrote in and said, just wanted to announce that this Sunday I will be getting married to Santa Roz, and gives a player ID, who I met through KOL. So thanks for introducing me to my bride. Did you meet that couple that met on KOL and got married who came to see us at Comic-Con?
Yeah, they were really nice.
They were normal-looking people.
Yep.
Normally when I think about people meeting in a game and getting married, they're weirdos. But that doesn't seem to happen with people who meet and get married through KOL.
There's going to be a wedding at Columbus this year. Did you notice?
Yeah, I heard about that. I think it's that Bill DeCat and somebody.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's some sort of duct tape wedding.
It's a nice day for a duct tape wedding.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's neat that it's there. I don't know how I feel about it being, like, part and parcel of the whole Columbus thing. I think that's a little weird. I don't know to what extent it is. I don't know if it's in the same place. If the reception is the Columbus after party. After party. Like the party ever ends at Columbus.
Word. after party is one of those weird words that, like, pre-board... Right, you're not pre-boarding the plane, you're boarding the plane. You know, it's like apartments are close together, so they shouldn't be called apartments. And buildings are already built.
Yeah, and what's up with jumbo shrimp? And when is a car not a car? When it's a jar! When is a door not a car?
When is a... Yeah. Wow.
Always. Like when you pre-order something, you're ordering it before it, prior to its availability. So I guess that's right. A thing. Preenicweezer also sent in a link to a Yahoo Answers thing. What is the insult? Did your mother have any kids that lived? Supposed to imply, because I was talking about that. It says, Since you are your mother's kid, and since the insulter is speaking to you, he or she knows that your mother has at least one living kid. So by asking the question, he or she is implying that you are a non-entity. So yeah, implying that someone does not exist. Blister Guy says, why can't we have Ascension run logging built into the game? Don't make me use Mafia. I don't want to. And then somebody also wrote, maybe it's the same guy. Yep, it is Blister Guy. Says, can you please, please, please build run logging like how Mafia does into the game? I don't know how much of what Mafia logs we're already tracking. You know, one thing that we don't track is like item drops and stuff. I mean, it would the thing about Mafia is it can track an arbitrary amount of information that it then saves on your hard drive, and you're one dude. Us saving all of that information on the servers and having it accessible is taxing on an already taxed system.
Sure.
And read my lips, Blister Guy. No new taxing the already taxed system. Yeah. You can just dead air.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let that swing. No, I think you make a valid point.
I don't know what all. Like, I have not looked at a Mafia run log ever, so I don't know what it is about it. Like, I wonder if there is some subset of that functionality that would satisfy whatever category of person is represented by Blister Guy who only uses Mafia because of that. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about Mafia. Pablobunk says, if you're looking for an intro to the podcast, why not use the first few notes from MC Frontalot's KOL song? Ooh, or start with a date to avoid confusion. I do like it when podcasts start with the date.
Should I give the date at the beginning of every show in kind of an announcer voice?
Well, it can always be edited in later.
And August 30th, 2010.
Yeah, you know, like the Overthinking It podcast always starts, for August 30th, 2010, it's the Overthinking It podcast. Available online at overthinkingit.com/overthinkingit. Yeah, Idle Thumbs often starts with a joke, people stumbling over trying to figure out how to say the date. So, that's a thing. I'm sad that that podcast is over. I listened to the last episode a couple days ago. Evangeon Q's asking for a bunch of stuff. Can you fix the white belt so it's craftable again? I guess the JLE wrote this sort of screed about the white belt because people are getting ripped off because the white belt, there are some in the mall, and it's like just a thing that doesn't make any sense. So it seems like it's like some rare thing, and it's not. Fine. Fine. White belt. It's craftable. Jesus. Miners. Can you add a chat feature which makes the colors of the names of players in chat who are hardcore/run and come up as a different color, such as dark gray instead of black? How about a gray so dark that it is indistinguishable from black? Which is a feature that we've already added. It's not really. Dreamcatcher says, what's at the center of the galaxy?
Nougat.
It's like, yeah, well, I was going to say some sort of vortex of horror, but it's mostly nougat. Tomato Bob says, Captain Janeway starred in 1979 as Mrs. Columbo in her own spinoff series, because we were talking about Columbo. Riff is a big Columbo fan. I have never seen even a single episode of Voyager.
I think I've seen a single episode of Voyager.
I've also never seen an episode of Deep Space Nine. I was just so not interested when it was announced.
It turned out really good.
Seriously?
Yeah. Really quite good.
really good, is what you're saying.
I'm going to go on record as saying Deep Space Nine, really good. I'm not afraid to say it, because it's true.
I'm going to go on record as saying that you're wrong about that.
You don't know. You've never seen The Filthy Motherfucker.
Azu says, speaking of gender-bent stand-up comedians, my supervisor at Walmart looked like a female Harlan Williams. That's kind of terrifying, actually. Harlan Williams is a weird-looking dude.
Yeah.
He's also way older than you would think.
He's also more annoying than you would think, if you were thinking he wasn't very annoying.
How come you don't like Harlan Williams?
He's annoying.
He's almost 50.
That's all I need to know about Harlan Williams.
He's not annoying. He's funny. Have you only seen him in movies?
Yeah.
Okay. If you see him just like off the cuff, he's one of those people who just makes stuff up. You know, he'll just tell a story that he's clearly making up.
Huh. His voice and mannerisms are irritating to me. I doubt that I'd like him doing anything at all. It's that Tom Green kind of thing. Just like, I you may be saying something funny, but I'm too busy wanting to punch you in the face to hear it.
I think that's your own anger issues that need to be worked out.
Hey, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see you driving down the street with the girl I love, and I'm like, forget you. So does it make it worse that they're doing a radio edit of it? Because I think it does.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they should just allow it to exist in a version that can't be played on the radio and kind of point out that radio is pointless.
But radio is not pointless, is the problem. I mean, it's still the way most records get sold, as far as I understand it.
Records get sold?
You can't say...
Here's the problem, yeah. It's the same kind of, I don't know, the group blindness or bias blindness or something that made me think that Scott Pilgrim was going to be the biggest movie of the year. Like, nobody I know listens to popular music on the radio and buys it in a physical form, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes me think that it's just over, but yeah. I know it's
not. I mean, I don't think it is, you know? I mean, it's like, A, I don't think that anybody would have discovered that song if it hadn't been by an established artist who went through the system, right? Like, people, we were talking about this in Dev, like, people talk about how OK Go is proving that you don't need the record labels to be a successful band, but, like, they did need the record labels to become a successful band.
I don't think that they were signed when that first video came out, though.
I think that they were.
Oh, and I don't know, so, yeah.
I think that they'd been with EMI, which was not like a huge label, right? Like, I'm not positive about that, but like they say that they don't think they could have done it without the distribution channels, but now they don't need them anymore because enough people know about them that they can just make an album themselves and just sell it and make enough money, you know. But it's I don't know. You know, we're not at the point where traditional media is actually dead. And as much as everybody wants to believe it, like, there are, you know, I don't know. I'm curious as to how, like, the fact that such a large percentage of the music that gets bought in this country gets bought at Walmart proves that we just don't know what people are like. Like, the people we know are not like people.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest problem with Walmart. That's really my only problem with Walmart, is that they, because of their censorship policies, cause all of this additional consternation and different versions of shit to have to be made, and I think that that's ridiculous.
You don't believe
I don't give a shit how they treat their employees or the environment.
Very well.
And every time they put a mom and pop business out of business, I'm a little sad, but then I'm like, well, you know, we all voted to live in a capitalistic society, and this is what fucking happens, you know? I will always support a mom and pop store by going there and spending my money there, even if stuff is more expensive than at Walmart. But, like, until everyone does that, and everyone isn't going to do that, because, you know, nobody else is as concerned about their principles as they are their wallet.
True.
and what are you going to do?
It's kind of weird. Like, my dad is boycotting BP because of the oil spill and wasn't moved by my telling him that these are independently owned stations, blah, blah, blah. But still gives me shit because I won't shop at Walmart. And just, well, I, you know, son, if you like spending more money on something, on the same things, then going somewhere else and having it cheaper, I guess, can't do anything for you. Alright. It's a strange compartmentalization, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a regular person, right?
Right.
And that's the thing. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time trying to convince my mom not to shop at Walmart.
No, I don't tell him that he shouldn't shop there. It's just when he suggests that I go pick up something there and I say, no, I'd rather just get it at Target or something. And then he says, well, you like paying more money for the same stuff. I guess you ought to go to your Target then. You not caring what money is, guy? Yeah.
I think of it as paying extra to not have to look at a bunch of mean fat people beating their kids.
And I've heard people say, like, it's a snobbish and evil thing to, you know, you don't go to Walmart just because you don't like poor people, blah, blah, blah. But Walmart, being in a Walmart, even being in a Walmart that was full of, say, people who are exactly like me, being in a Walmart just makes me nervous. I don't like it. It's too big and too dirty and too cluttered and too much stuff. It's like, yeah. It gives me, was it agoraphobia? It gives me the opposite of claustrophobia.
Yeah, well, agoraphobia is fear of the market, and Walmart is kind of the market. You know, my bias against the people who are at Walmart is not a bias against poor people. It is a bias against awful people.
Ah.
And awful people, by and large, by virtue of their awfulness, end up being poor. You know, so what
unless
are you
they're
do?
Really, really awful, and then they end up being billionaires.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, like lacking in scruples and people skills.
Who are the really awful billionaires?
Donald Trump.
Trump's probably pretty awful.
He seems to be kind of a dick, yeah.
Bill Gates seems like a good dude.
I suppose.
He's trying to cure malaria.
I would rather go out to lunch with him than Steve Jobs. That's true.
Oh, I don't know. That's a toss-up. Steve Jobs, I bet I could get into an entertaining argument with Steve Jobs.
Hmm.
Bill Gates would be too nice. He wouldn't argue with me. He'd just leave. Or call security. He'd press a button and vaporize me. Because he can do that. And when the police come, he vaporizes them. Because he can afford to vaporize everyone if he has to. Psalm PM says, I may have missed the memo, but are you removing delay or something? By the way, congrat. I don't know what he's congratulating me for. Maybe on my recent winner of the Biggest Dick in Arizona contest.
So did they establish that you're the biggest dick in Arizona?
They did. It was a proud moment for me. My acceptance speech was just a pair of middle fingers aimed at the crowd. They weren't mine. I cut them off a homeless dude on the way in.
Because you're that big of a dick. Cool.
Yeah.
War Chief Thrall says, stop stripping the music out of the radio shows!
For the Horde! No. If we're going to put them up on the podcast, we have to strip the music out or we're going to get in trouble. Because it's illegal against the law.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Congrats, says Sompum, on finally deciding to make those updates you were feeling ambiguous about. I don't know. That's not the correct usage of the word ambiguous, just to be a pedant here. I don't think I can feel ambiguous about something. I could feel ambivalent.
Yeah.
I could... What?
Yeah, so we made it past the 45-minute mark, and we got hammered at the 90-minute mark. So we must have, they must have not noticed that I was sending a bunch of data back and forth at the 45 minute mark.
Did you get the streams back?
I think it's
just as easy to edit two files as it is to edit one. I'm getting pretty good at that whole editing the podcast thing, and I learned some lessons about dynamic compression from MC Fronts a lot. Our shows, for whatever reason, because of the way that they're being recorded out of SAM, do not have the same problem that the ones that we do at the office do, and so they don't benefit nearly as much from the dynamic compression. But I don't know, what's the last thing that went out?
I don't think we lost anything, really.
Yeah. Well, I was saying to Sam PM, I'm removing delay, but I'm only removing delay if I can do it by making the game better for everyone, in my mind. Everyone in my mind. So, you know, there's little Billy, who, he's pretty shy. And, there's Mrs. Cratchit, who is a very harsh disciplinarian. So removing delay just by itself benefits, like, spreadsheet-y optimizer dudes, but does not necessarily make the game better for everybody else. And, so yeah, I'm only doing it if it's fun. And I think both of the ones so far have been fun. And I gotta figure out what the fuck with the crypt. Figure out what else the fuck with everything else. Man, do you ever think about the future, Mr. Skullhead, and just think that it's a giant pile of work that will never, ever be done?
Generally, when I think about the future, I think about a boot stepping on a human face forever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
It's in 1984.
Oh.
A boot stomping on a human face forever.
But that's the past. Wait, you're trying to get back to the future?
Uh-huh. When I think about Back to the Future, I tend to think about Doc Brown.
Wearing Doc Martens.
Mm-hmm. And,
Stomping Doc Holliday.
Stomping on Martin Lawrence. Forever.
Oh, man. You know, you'd think that I hate Martin Lawrence because he's black, but you're wrong. I hate him because he's an asshole.
I thought you hated him because he sucks.
Well, he's an asshole because he sucks.
I see. So it just makes him mad that he's not very funny?
Yeah. Pretty Queezer says, Twilight Heroes will be going retcon in 30 days. And actually now, let me look at the front page there. It's actually in 27 days now. They're doing the equivalent of rolling out Ascension, making the replay mechanism. And I, for one, am excited about it because I want to start over and play that game the way it is now. Because I, like, made a character and did all the quests very early on, and now it's like just... It's been this kind of endless aftercore situation for me, and I just don't know what anything does or what anything is, and I'm really looking forward to, like, starting from scratch.
Hmm.
That's what I'm really looking forward to. And learning what it's like to perm skills. Casey Wiederman says, regarding Arizona real estate crashing, Jick, you crashed the world's economy. I know, I single-handedly crashed the entire world's entire economy. That was really why I won the world's biggest...
Yeah, that's kind of a dick move.
Yeah. Sam PM says, why are the pre-war areas higher monster level than some of the war quests? I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean by the pre-war areas? Write in later. Pablobunk says, out of curiosity, since you're formaling up the podcast, is the official title 120 Minutes with Jick and X for both shows? I would love to download a show and see title, date, artist, asymmetric publications, album, 120 Minutes, genre, podcast. Oh, I see. Title, date. Okay. Yeah. There are formatting guidelines for iTunes that I have been unaware of. I know Hot Stuff knows what they are. He gets back into town in a little while, so... in like a half an hour. So maybe this week before we head to Dragon Con, we will make some progress on actually getting that podcast feed set up. I don't know. I should get busy recording some intro music and saying things like, you're listening to whatever this podcast is called with me, Jick.
Were you planning on making both shows a single podcast?
I don't know. They would at least need two different intros where we introduce ourselves, right?
Right. I wouldn't want to give up the 2 dozen minutes, or 10 dozen minutes thing, though.
Nope. Naming it the same thing, just in terms of like what the file is named, is probably going to be necessary.
Yeah.
Right now they're 10 dozen minutes and the Jick Show, but the show with me and two other dudes is even less the Jick Show than a show with me and one other dude would be. So it's just that's what the files were named when I first did it, fucking 5 years ago or whatever. How did 5 years pass? How is this KOLCon fucking 7? We're gonna be dead soon.
It's weird that it's KOLCon 7, but shouldn't it be 8?
There was 1 year where there was no KOLCon, yeah.
Or Santa Claus. Yeah, looking
at the 7th, but it's only been annual for 5 of them, right?
And looking at asymmetric.net and seeing the February 11th, 2003, hey kids, come play my fun new game. Wow.
It's fun and new. Lots of Phil says, stop thinking the new Hellion is bad. It is awesome. My next donation will be for $10.26. And is it possible to have the pool table messages say what clan they happened in? Maybe just if it's not the clan you're currently in. Huh. I don't know anything about that anymore. It's been too long since the pool table was. Fox suggests a new chat effect. Heavy metal mode, where every vowel has umlauts over it. I don't get that. I don't get where that comes from. I guess some heavy metal stuff did have some umlauts in it, and then they just started putting umlauts on everything, but it's like they don't know what umlauts mean.
Yeah, which is part of the funny thing, yeah.
Is it funny, though, or are they doing it seriously?
I think that there was a generation of metal bands that... Like, all of the stuff that's in This Is Spinal Tap was because that was what heavy metal bands were doing at the time. So just the umlauts over every vowel, so Spinal Tap has one over the N. Yeah, thank
you. You know, I was looking... I was talking to people about Spinal Tap the other night, and I said that I haven't seen Spinal Tap, but then I was like, maybe I have seen Spinal Tap? I don't remember if I've seen Spinal Tap or not.
It's funny.
Is it?
Yep. The That's movie good. That the very next movie that you should see is Once, though.
O-N-C-E?
Uh-huh.
What's that about? Is it on Netflix streaming?
Probably not streaming.
Well, then I can't watch it.
I'll bring you DVD.
What's it about? But that means I can't watch any more. I can't watch any movies until Con. What is up with these ridiculous restrictions that you're putting on me, Mr. Skullhead?
I don't know. What? Hey. It's about this guy who plays guitar and like kind of a street musician guy, and he meets this girl who plays piano, and they make an album, and I don't know. It's really good, is what it's about. It's a musical, but only in that they're in a band rehearsing an album, so they occasionally play an entire song from the album that they're making.
So it's a musical like Scott Pilgrim is a musical?
Yeah. And it's the kind of love story that you would like, I think.
Because everybody dies in the end?
Yeah.
They don't actually like each other very much.
It's a really good movie with really good music, and I was struck watching it again that it seems to be right up your alley.
Hmm.
So watch the thing. If you don't like it, I'll be surprised.
Okay.
I linked you to that video that they did of where that band covered Neutral Milk Hotel, but I don't think you ever got the video to play.
I did. I found it. You were right. It was pretty good.
Yeah, so it's those guys.
Or the What's musicians the name of that band?
The Swell Season?
The Swell Season, yeah. I, from looking at them, I feel like I would not want to hang out with those guys, but they actually did, like, I enjoyed that Neutral Milk Hotel cover in a way that I normally hate. Like, seeing a band do a Neutral Milk Hotel cover makes me hate them. Hmm.
The guy, the lead singer, was also in The Commitments. Or maybe he wasn't. I thought he was. Yeah, he was in The Commitments. And that, I thought I remembered you telling me that I should watch that.
Yeah, I remember liking it a lot. I don't remember a whole lot about it. Wasn't engineer Miles O'Brien also in The Commitments?
Hmm. You know who wasn't is Brendan Gleeson, which is weird, because I figured that every movie that's set in or around Ireland is obligated to have him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or Brendan Fraser, or Jackie Gleeson, or Jackie Chan.
Or, oh, fuck. Who played Fraser?
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to drop some Kelsey Grammer on you. I think that Nelly should make a follow-up to Country Grammar called Kelsey Grammar.
David Allen Greer Hyde Pierce. David Allen Pam Greer Hyde Pierce. Brosnan Pinchot. James 111222 says, can you make the white belt mall searchable? We've been getting lots of asshats in trade trying to sell them for millions of meat. Done, buddy. Done, like back in time and shit. Frank and Means wrote, I note that the Bottles of Beer Golem is supposed to block spells, yet I can pretty much wipe it out with the Saucer or Legendary Epic Weapon spell. Should it block that spell as well? Yeah, I guess those things should probably count as spells. The monsters in Fernsworthy's basement have not... There was a lot of just random hard-coded bullshit done with those monsters a very long time ago, and the game has changed really dramatically since they went in. I am sorely tempted to... just make them to like basically give them the properties that they were meant to have using this more sophisticated system that we have for giving monsters resistances and tricks and stuff now, but I'm just worried that it would piss people off. I mean, right now I don't know what it is that actually stops people in the basement, but it is definitely not the monsters, like, ever. I think maybe it's the thing that you have to have a bunch of MP for. Or maybe the thing where you have to play a bunch of MP4s of pornographic encounters between schoolgirls. Is MP4 even a video format?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I didn't fuck that up. Play Havoc says, Lion Oil, why does it not tell me the tooth? Is that a joke? Is it a Thundercats joke?
Is it a joke at all?
Are you hitting a bong load? Are you pulling a tube?
I'm confused by you, Play Havoc.
Yeah, I like his forum threads.
You're talking about Play Havoc. You like what?
I like Play Havoc's forum threads.
I could. Yeah,
he has a style. He's the one who wrote that thread about how to become close personal friends of the admins, which I thought was an entertaining thread. You can't do it. We're in an ivory tower, miles above the world. Mm-hmm. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing you can do to become friends with us. I'm old and grumpy, and I got enough friends. Casey Wiederman says, hey, why not just gray out Thrustmac and Lunging Thrustmac when the wrong items are equipped, akin to Shield Butt, instead of reloading the frame with a fail message? Well, so all of the graying out of anything anywhere was all stuff that Xenophobe did, and I don't know how to do that. So anytime somebody sends in a thing that's like, this thing should gray out when you can't do it, I am just like, okay, I'm going to put this in Chris Moyer's incredibly long list of things that may or may not ever get done, and hope that maybe it's one of the things that will eventually come around.
Right.
The to-do lists for shit like this only ever get bigger. That's why I say earlier when I said it, do you ever think about the future and just think, that it is this just massive pile of work that will never be finished. Every to-do list is just a thing that gets bigger and bigger and bigger until I throw it away. That's what to-do lists are like.
Sure.
You know, what Hot Stuff always tells me is after buying that app and trying to use the getting things done methodology is that KOL, the reason that I have this angst about it is because I'm thinking of KOL as a project, and KOL is not a project. KOL is an area of responsibility.
Hmm.
It's something that is never done.
It's like
more
a,
than ever,
a woman's
hour
work.
After hour, work is never over, Mr. Skullhead.
Hmm. But that that don't kill you can only make you stronger.
I guess that's true. You know, the more previews that I see for Tron 2.0, the more I am convinced that it's going to be fucking terrible.
That's because you ain't right.
That's because I ain't bright?
No, you ain't right.
I what? I'm not right?
You ain't right. In the head.
Like, I'm not right in the head?
Yeah, there's something wrong with your brain that is not greeting each new piece of footage from that movie with unparalleled and unbridled joy.
It's just... I don't know, man.
I think part of it is... Part of the reason I'm excited for it is that I like the first Tron, but it is deeply flawed. So...
Sure.
So if they manage to keep the same look and feel and whatnot and make it not glacially paced like Tron is, then that's cool. Like, I'm not thinking of it as like some
Tron
amazing
not,
thing that
Tron
should be like
glacially
the fuck alone.
Paced.
It isn't. It is ridiculously slow.
I don't know if I agree with you. I think that that makes it atmospheric in a way that a frenetic action movie cannot be.
I watched it recently and found that parts of it were kind of boring and slow.
I don't know. I watch it every once in a while. That's a movie that I will always play for, like, a girl who's never seen it.
Sure.
You know? And granted, they usually get bored. But that's because they're girls, and girls don't know from quality film. They find my collection of documentaries about lesbian schoolgirl behavior to be boring, or even offensive in some way.
And that's just bizarre.
It is. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just afraid. I'm really afraid that it's gonna suck. No, I'm not afraid. I've made peace with the fact that it's going to suck. The CG Jeff Bridges is fucking creepy. It's fucking creepy. It does not look real enough to be a thing. It's like some weird, like, giant head mode. Like, it really bothers me a lot. Yeah, and also just like using CG to make an actor younger to fit the continuity of a fucking series, man. Like,
but if the character you're making younger is living inside of a computer,
there is in the most recent preview, there is a scene that takes place in the real world with CG young Jeff Bridges.
Huh, I haven't seen that. Maybe
it's
that's
fucking
what I need to
creepy.
See.
It's creepy. He looks like a golem. Of Jeff Bridges. Okay. Like somebody sculpted a young Jeff Bridges out of clay and then they made it animatronic. I don't know if it's just like skirting the edge of that whole Uncanny Valley thing or what the fuck, but it's like I am not going to be able to stop being creeped out by that long enough to feel okay about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's going to be a fucking sex scene. And that's going to be lame. They omitted the romance scene at the girl's apartment from the original Tron. And I think it was definitely a good move to omit that. Right?
We've because already fully established that human copulation and nudity makes you extremely uncomfortable.
These aren't humans. It does not make any sense that they would have private lives. In the fiction of the universe, it does not make any sense that they would have private lives.
None of it makes any sense. Jesus.
But it could be internally consistent. There's nothing preventing it from being internally consistent. See, yeah, I don't know.
This is the difference of opinion that I have with everybody else on the internet. It's like, if the guy tells me these programs date and have sex, sure, your universe, dude, even if it doesn't make any sense for them, you know, logically to do that, how much shit do we do in a day that doesn't make sense logically to do it? You know?
Comparatively little. I feel like we approach our fiction with a measure of even-handedness and...
No, I mean like actual life. You know, like, when... It bothered me when people were talking about Inception, say. Have you seen Inception?
I have.
Okay, so they were saying, like, well, why the hell didn't the character just do this over here? That would make perfect sense for him to do. It's like, because that character made the choice to do this other thing. Maybe it didn't even occur to him to do the thing that is obvious that he should do. Like, if somebody was watching my life, they're like, why didn't he eat some celery instead of that bag of potato chips? He's a fat guy and he wants to get less fat. That doesn't make any sense. What a shittily written story. Like, no. Your characters are allowed to do stuff that is different from what internet guy thinks they ought to do. And that, right, so, like,
but that's not the kind of thing that I'm talking about. I mean, I don't think that you can argue.
But what I'm going for
now, some fictional worlds are better realized than others.
But what I'm going for is, if in that same vein, if that's the way Quidditch is scored, that's the fucking way Quidditch is scored.
But that doesn't mean it makes sense. I'm not saying, you know. That's that. Like, if somebody wants to write a joke that isn't funny, more power to them, but I'm not going to just sit there and fucking laugh at it because that's the way they wrote it. You know? It's not my responsibility to enjoy things no matter how little sense they make. It is the person creating art, it's their responsibility, if they don't want their art to be criticized for not making any fucking sense, to make their art make some fucking sense.
Eh. Yeah.
You're saying that there's never been like a plot hole that bothered you?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
That's fine. It's fine if you believe that.
No, I'm saying that
it's, you know, it's fine. That's the way that you approach it. I mean, you're probably a lot happier as a consumer of media than I am. In fact, I'm certain that you are.
Yeah, I'm saying that when I'm enjoying a movie or a book or something, I'm just kind of willing to give the creator of that work the benefit of the doubt. Like Nightmare talking about how Star Trek was ruined for them because they had a mining vessel in it. It's like, they have replicators. Why would they need a mining vessel? That's stupid. I can't watch this movie anymore.
I don't think it was that strong of a reaction. I mean, it's a thing that later on you think about it and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's that word from TV tropes that we come up with, that came up on the last show. The what?
Fridge logic, yeah.
Yeah.
But my sense of that, like, when he said that, I said, well, I can think of a couple of reasons why they would still need mining vessels. Maybe there are things the replicators can't replicate. Maybe there's this, maybe there's that. And Nightmare's going, well, that's just you filling in the hole in the plot. So I don't think so. I think if it's conceivable that there are ways out of it, I don't think that the movie has to spell it out.
Yeah. I am biased, having played the video game Tron 2.0, because, and I, you know, I've said this before and I will say it again a dozen times, it was proof to me that you can modernize that source material respectfully and in a way that makes a genuinely entertaining, genuinely new product without resorting to like bullshit Hollywood tricks. Right? And I just think that I think that Tron 2.0 is not going to be as good as it could be because they're not coming at it. Like, that video game was made by people who fucking love Tron. And I kind of feel like a new Tron movie should be made by people who fucking love Tron, as opposed to by people who fucking love money, because the people who fucking love money are busy making every other fucking movie, and they're by and large terrible. You know?
You don't think that this guy is a fan of the property?
I don't know. I don't know who's calling the shots. I think that there is a sort of faceless amalgamation of people calling the shots, because the previews are full of just the sort of blockbuster bullshit that I hate in every other movie. You know? I mean, for where Tron was slow for you, it was contemplative for me.
Huh.
And I'm not saying that it's like the best movie ever made, but I thought that it was a cool departure from what other stories were being told. You know? It was interesting, and it was artsy, and it had lofty ambitions that I think, you know, probably in general kind of failed, but I'm glad that it existed. And are there no childhood properties that you loved that you are upset about their remake rape? I don't have a horse in most of these races, right? Like, I did not give a shit about Transformers, so the Transformers movie sucked, but it wasn't like I'm mad.
I was kind of bummed because it could have easily been really cool, and it wasn't, but that didn't really have anything to do with, like, reverence for the source material.
I mean, Star Wars prequels, right?
Right. And yeah. At the same time, I'm one of the few people who Indiana Jones 4, that was fine.
Yeah, I'm also one of those few people. I mean, there were definitely some stupid bits, but like,
I think the difference is when you see a movie when you're 12, it can have some stupid bits and you recognize that they're stupid, but you still go, man, that was a cool movie. Whereas when you're 30 and you watch Indiana Jones 4, you go, well, the whole movie was ruined for me because he, you know, there were CGI gophers popping up at weird moments, or, you know, how could he have survived that nuking the fridge thing? Yeah, fuck that movie.
I'm not going to say that, but what I will say is that, you know...
Okay, looking at it, this is written by a bunch of people who don't have anything promising in their histories.
And what is?
Tron Legacy. And is directed by a guy who hasn't directed anything else.
Huh.
So, yeah. But, if it's an action movie set in the Tron universe, if it's the Fast and the Furious set in the Tron universe, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm still going to see it, and I'm probably going to enjoy it, but knowing what is possible, you know, and, you know, a fucking video game is not a movie, and that's, the, you know, that's just, it's not helpful for me to feel this way about it, to anyone. Yeah. You know, nobody likes listening to this shit, and I don't like feeling this way, so,
it's
whatever.
It's definitely not going to be the, like, labor of love from one guy's kind of weird fantasy sci-fi vision. Yeah.
Yeah. So here is one parting shot about the fourth Indiana Jones movie compared to the first three, or the Star Wars prequels compared to the first ones. Yes, we were kids when we saw those, and kids are a lot more forgiving, but Star Wars episodes 4, 5, and 6, zero fart jokes. That cannot be said about the prequels.
True.
You know, nobody got comically hit in the balls in the first three Indiana Jones movies because that's not the kind of movies they were.
Yeah.
You know, there might have been stuff that at the time people derided as lowest common denominator slapstick bullshit, but it wasn't a dude getting hit in the nuts.
True.
You know? And so when I think about, you know, honestly, when I think about Indiana Jones 4, all I think about is the parts of it that I hated. But I don't remember hating the movie. I remember thinking, you know, that was not nearly as bad as I was expecting, which was probably the most generous I was going to feel about it walking out of there, right? I remember liking it. I was like, you know, that was fine. Like, it didn't bother me that it was about aliens, because it's like, oh, you know, like, aliens, that's preposterous. Where's my story about Jesus? You know, like, there's no difference there. But, like, Yeah, I mean, I do. When I think about it, I think of the fridge. I think of the fucking scene where he's flying through the forest with the monkeys, and I think about Shia LaBeouf getting hit in the nuts by something at some point. And the Indiana Jones saying Library.
I still don't think that happened. I think I'm going to have to watch it again.
Nuclear and Library.
I know he said nuclear, but I don't think he said Library. I'll check it out.
It's all right. Let's stop. Hey. Let's stop being on a show.
Good night, everybody.